This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
On January 11th, roughly 500 people from all over Kansas converged on the state capitol to lobby for Kansas People's Agenda 2017. I'm Spencer Graves, your host for this episode of Radioactive Magazine. Plans for this rally were discussed in the December 27th episode of Radioactive Magazine. This included a rally that ran from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., after which participants went to talk with their state senators and representatives and to attend committee hearings. A related effort is Women's March Topeka being planned for this coming Saturday, January 21st. A link to that is provided on the webpage for this episode of Radioactive Magazine. The lead organizer for the January 11th event was Reverend Sarah Oglesby Donegan, pastor at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Topeka, in joint with many others of many different faiths and political persuasions from across Kansas. The agenda included poetry, presentations by activists from all over the state, and music. In this episode of Radioactive Magazine, you will hear 26 minutes selected from this 90-minute program. Because of time and technical difficulties, we are not able to include portions of every presentation. Before going to the recordings, I will read a summary of comments by Juanita Giuseppe of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation, just north of Topeka. She said, "No other group has been so affected by the religions I shall not name that tried to beat out of us who we were. We should be beyond that. No other group that I know of has had to adhere to such laws as the Indian Child Welfare Act of the state of Kansas. The Indian Child Welfare Act was meant to retain who we are, not destroy who we are. Police come on our reservations. Do our lives matter? It does not seem that way. As I stand here, I feel somewhat humbled that we all stand on Indian land. But we are on the bottom of the totem pole when we come to Topeka. We have the highest rates of arrest, the highest rates of poverty, but yet we are considered overzealous. We respect the environment. We respect the air. It takes people to make something happen. Never stop. Never get up. Give up. We are with you on this."
My name is Tom Witt. I'm the executive director of Equality Kansas.
Put either on the side there, or just walk up there and just do it. Just do
I
it.
Am a Kansan by choice. I chose to move to Kansas, and I chose to stay here. And I have chosen to fight to make my home state a better place. This is my 13th year in this building that I have been the lobbyist for the LGBT community in the state of Kansas. I don't know how I ended up here for this long or at all, but here I am. I work with the state representatives and the state senators. Mostly, just think of a really ill-tempered hockey goalie, and if you get too close, you might get a stick in your face. That's kind of what I do. I stop a lot of bad legislation from getting traction in this thing. Of course, our elected representatives are not all horrible. There are some fantastic people who are working with us every day to stop the bad stuff and to get the good stuff passed. And there are a few here that I want to introduce. At least they were here a few minutes ago. First, if I can acknowledge State Representative Jared Owsley. Jared, are you still here? The handsome man with the beard waving back there, he is our sponsor for this event today, and I am very grateful. State Representative Conca Lee Victors. State Representative Conca Lee Victors is here. State Representative Boog Heiberger is here. There are two state senators kind of hiding over this way. The first is Senator Aletha Faust Goodeau. The second, we've got State Senator Marcy Francisco. Where's Marcy? She was here a minute ago.
You are listening to excerpts from speeches given at a rally by the People's Agenda 2017 at the Topeka State Capitol on January the 11th.
Who have I missed? If you're an elected representative and you'd like to be recognized right now, raise your hand and I should know who you are. No? Well, everybody's having to go to meetings. So, not only am I the executive director of Equality Kansas, I'm also the chair of the Kansas Democratic Party's Progressive Caucus. And we have been leading the effort to drag our Democratic Party kicking and screaming to the progressive left. And it's working!
Ma'am Omar Hazim from the Islamic Center of Topeka. And I also am an Islamic advisor to the Kansas Department of Corrections. So we've heard a lot of talk about justice, freedom, freedom of religion. The essence of the freedom of religion from an Islamic point of view, where the Quran says, La ikraha fid din, that is, let there be no compulsion in religion, that every human soul can pick and choose the religion that they want to follow and practice based on the limited free will that God has given every human being.
Hello again. How's everybody feeling? Awesome. So as one of the leaders of Black Lives Matter in Topeka, my name is Josmari Rodriguez. One of the chants I haven't heard yet is Black Lives Matter. So we're going to chant that next. Cool?
Black Lives Matter on your mind.
Black Lives Matter on your mind.
You are listening to excerpts from speeches given at a rally by the People's Agenda 2017 at the Topeka State Capitol on January the 11th.
So my name is Carolina Hernandez. I am from Sunflower Community Action in Wichita, Kansas. So I want to give you guys a round of applause for all being here first. So thank you. As I look around this room, I look at all of you and I see one thing, and that is hope. I don't see brown, I don't see black, or I don't see white. I see a community united, and that is what we need most today. I am an immigrant from Mexico. At the age of 3, I was brought to the United States by my parents. And I thank them for taking that risk. Many of you might question why people come to the United States. All I can say is for a better future. In my case, my parents didn't have the resources in order to help my health. I used to have a heart murmur, and at a very early age, I would faint a lot due to it. And because of my amazing parents, they decided to take the risk and come to the United States, and I received treatment here. We have the opportunities here in the United States that we don't have in Mexico. Sorry. Good. So we stayed. We stayed in the United States because there are more opportunities here than in my home country. And thankfully, I was able to accomplish a lot of things as I was given the opportunities, such as graduating as an honor student from high school, starting college, and then obtaining jobs that never in my life I would imagine I would have. But there were obstacles due to my immigration status. I am a Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals recipient, also known as DACA, the executive order from President Obama from 2012. It granted me protection from deportation, authorization to work for 2 years, a driver's license, a social security, but most importantly, the freedom to be without fear temporarily. DACA does provide us a temporary relief, but in the meantime, our parents are still being a target for deportation. And with the outcome of this last election, it won't change. I still have the fear of my parents being deported. Our community is still with great fear to come out. And they are more vulnerable to harsh laws that will hurt and divide our families, encouraged by the new administration. We have to fight every year to keep institution here in Kansas for any Kansas resident student. Yeah. Although things haven't looked so good at the Capitol, I believe that we can still make a huge change. I now have a beautiful 3-month-old daughter, so now I know exactly why my parents made the decision to come to the United States. I know exactly why they brought me here and to a country of opportunities. And now I have more motivation to continue fighting for my daughter, but not only for her, for all our kids, for the next generation, so they can have a better future. Today, I urge you all to stand together in unity against hate, because we are here to stay, and united, anything is possible. So can I count with all you?
You are listening to excerpts from speeches given at a rally by the People's Agenda 2017 at the Topeka State Capitol on January the 11th.
My name is Tamber Heppner. Many of you have seen me today running around with, like, a chicken with my head cut off, getting everybody registered. To kind of go off on that, I'm here for another topic, but as she was speaking, it occurred to me, you know, here they are not taking care of us, not doing all these things that we need them to do, and at the same time trying to regulate what a woman can do with her body. And spending all the time doing that and trying to figure out, now I know this is a very divisive, controversial subject, but I speak here today having been somebody on both sides. Somebody who stood and held a sign during the Summer of Mercy protesting against Dr. George Tiller. Someone who at 24 and a victim of rape had to make one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make. And now someone today who decided to take a stand and not just say, I'm pro-choice, but that's not really my thing. I had to make a decision to decide, am I gonna fight for it? And today, I fight for it. And I'll just make it short. I think it's absolutely wonderful that everybody is here today, that we're all standing together for the things that we believe in, that we're standing as one community for everything under this agenda. And thank you so much for coming.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me? My name is Heather Owsley, and I am the mother who got fed up 4 years ago and walked out of the front door of my house and continued to walk 60 miles to this state capitol because our state constitution contains the foundation of a promise for all Kansas children to have an equal right to an excellent education opportunity. We know that our first territorial schools were raised by the settlers who came here after the passing of the Kansas-Nebraska Act, which provided that Kansas would be a free or slave state as determined by the votes of those who settled here. And we know that the free staters came and that they were unified and united in their desire for good schools. We know that in 1858, before we were a state, the first territorial superintendent of schools, Mr. James Noteware, demanded that we let Kansas, from the first, take rank among the best educated of the states. Whatever else is neglected, let us not neglect the education of our children. We know that this principle was carried over into our state's constitution in 1861, and that some of our very first legislation provided that all Kansas boys and all Kansas girls would be educated. And that is when we levied our first property tax to be distributed to each school district as weighted by their population. We know in 1902, the then state superintendent, Mr. Frank Nelson, fought for each rural district to hire a wagon to transport rural students, and that this daily transport of our children is credited with the development of our reliable rural roads. We know in 1937, the Kansas legislature passed the School Equalization Act, establishing our first sales tax, and that also was distributed to rural elementary schools. We know in 1951, 13 brave Topeka families filed the lawsuit that would then become known as Brown v. Board of Education. And that this lawsuit would result in the holding the unanimous decision that separate educational facilities are inherently unequal. And again, Kansas paved the way to an education for children for whom it had been out of reach. We know in 1974, only half of our children who needed special education services were receiving them, and so our Kansas legislature passed the Special Education Act so as to develop opportunities for children with disabilities in each school's jurisdiction. And today we know that in a state with a proud tradition of feeding the world, 47% of our Kansas children participate in the free and reduced lunch program. And that this hunger gap for half of our kids comes with an opportunity gap, a resource gap, and a technology gap. We know that these students face economic hurdles that make it difficult for them to perform at the level of their peers who are less burdened, and that this is what creates our current unequal education disparities and outcomes. Contrary to the assertions made last night, we know that implementing performance-based funding, which is also known as merit pay, penalizes the schools that educate our children facing the toughest battles. We know that it further rewards the schools who already have so much. And we also know that the economic disparities facing our kids cannot be fixed via privatization efforts. We know they will not be fixed by vouchers. They will not be fixed by for-profit charter schools. Right. We know that to bridge the opportunity gaps facing our kids, we have to ensure our public schools have the resources to meet the needs of hungry students. And that to do this, we have to institute a sound tax policy, relieving the burden on those who work so hard for what they have, and reinstating responsibilities on those who are so fortunate they have forgotten what it means to struggle. For all of our children, because that was our founding principle. In solidarity, we link arms with the districts that have brought lawsuits demanding the funds necessary to meet the needs of our children, and we link arms in front of the schoolhouse doors to block those who would raid our education funds for their own personal private gains. Wow. On behalf of our children, this is who we were, this is who we are, and this is who Kansans shall be. And so I'm going to ask you, and I know that there are people in the audience who know this answer and they will give it to me. I'm going to ask you, show me what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like.
My name is Dewan Wash. I am the Kansas Juvenile Justice Reform Advocate for Kansas Appleseed Center for Law and Justice. And this morning I want to speak to you momentarily about the criminal justice system here in America. You know, it goes without saying that the criminal justice system is broken and in need of reform. Collectively spending $80 billion a year, triple from what we spent in 1980, even though violent and property crime is down 45%. Although you'd never know that watching the evening news, which is constantly showing you scary black and Latino people terrorizing themselves and everybody else. The media bias and lies about criminality of people of color is used to prop up negative racialized attitudes towards marginalized groups. The criminal justice system in this country was and is built on the backs of people of color. From black codes to Jim Crow, black bodies have been criminalized and thrown away. The time for reform is now. Law and order candidates have pursued policies that have exploded the size of the criminal justice system. Mandatory minimum, repeat offender, and drug laws have destroyed communities. Most of these communities have been black and Latino. The war on drugs, 94 crime bill, state and local laws have all added to the problem, removing fathers and mothers from taking care of their families, and today locking up kids for normal childlike behaviors for entry into the school to prison pipeline. I don't know about you, but that sounds like madness to me. People often know and cite the 13th Amendment as abolishing slavery and involuntary servitude, but few pay attention to the exceptions of the amendment, which is those people who are found guilty of crimes or not protected by the 13th Amendment. So it's no wonder that prisons today and prisoners today work for pennies on the dollar, producing all sorts of goods from women's lingerie to aircraft parts and performing services such as call centers. It's no wonder that after Trump's election, private prison stocks soared. And in recent times, in an industry that is worth over $70 billion a year.
Tear them down!
Exactly. Prisoners today, when they are returning out of prison, and returning to their communities, they're returning to them as pariahs. They're unable to obtain housing, food, employment, education in many cases, as well as not being able to vote. And when they fail to get an opportunity, the obvious happens. The cycle repeats itself. Because again, the system is broken. Now, luckily, we don't get too many things to celebrate here in Kansas, unfortunately, with the type of legislature that we have, but we intend to change that, right? But not all is lost. And last year, a bipartisan effort passed landmark legislation, SB 367, which is the Juvenile Justice Reform Bill, which is a complete overhaul of the youth criminal justice system meant to close youth prisons and keep kids in their homes and in their communities. Yeah! We were already able to see Lawn 8 close, So next we just have one additional prison, which is the Kansas Juvenile Juvenile Correctional Complex here in Topeka. So we're hoping to have that close also. SB 367, thank you. SB 367 is meant to invest $70 million in cost savings back into communities in the form of community-based alternatives that will allow these young people to flourish. This is what restorative justice is about, and this is a model that we can use for our adult criminal justice system. We have to provide opportunities for people who are entering and returning from prison and help those individuals build better relationships with their families and with crime victims. We have to get to a point where we can build communities and not build prisons.
I am Davis Hammett. I came here 4 years ago to paint House Rainbow across from Westboro Baptist Church. And then I just sort of fell in love with the place and decided to stay. And a friend was just telling me that some legislators are complaining how loud we are, and it's kind of funny because a year ago... Well, a year ago, when I decided that I'm definitely putting my claws in and staying here, I found an organization called Loud Light, and that's about us being loud and being the light that the state needs. But today, we come together in the People's House with the awesome authority of this state's constitution, wherein it says that all political power is inherent in the people, and it calls us to consult for the common good, to instruct our representatives, and to petition the government for the redress of grievances. But a constitution is empty words if it is not lived out, and we are facing legitimate problems in our communities. We're here to live out that constitutional duty. If we want to demand meaningful change that improves the real lives of Kansans, we cannot be divided. Focused on our own struggles, we are so small. But when I don't see my struggle or your struggle, I just see the struggle. We are a force. And we can achieve the change we need. It doesn't matter what your main cause is, what your religion is, what your political party is. We don't have the luxury of debating our ideologies. We have one cause, one party, one platform. This entire agenda is one item. It's people. The party is people. The platform is people. The agenda is people. We can focus on our shared dreams. And that does not mean that we ignore the different obstacles that different communities face. It means that we embrace them. That we stop acting in isolation. It means we learn about each other. We show up for each other every time. We show up and we build power. People power. And we use that power and we go victory to victory. And we don't go home when we win our own personal victory.
There's a bunch of folks that have been working as a music team and we did not get to share earlier. We are going to sing one song now, and then we're going to sing at noon, because at noon this place can be filled with songs, they say. So on your little yellow sheet, there is a chorus called Rise as One. It is simple. I'll write out the first part and you'll get it really easy. It goes like this. Help me sing it. We will march as one.